Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space. And Lizzie, it's another week of Turning Towards Life. Here we are again. Welcome, everyone. It's really good to know that you're with us. We have people all over the world and in all kinds of different ways, podcasts and YouTube and our turningtowards.life website and Instagram and Facebook. People find us in all kinds of ways. So you're very welcome wherever you are in the world, whenever you are that you're joining us. And a very brief reminder of what we're doing. We're 400 and I've lost track again, Lizzie, I think maybe 404 weeks into a long conversation, which you can join us anytime. So if this is your first time listening, because maybe somebody recommended this to you, you're very welcome. And if you've been alongside for some or all of the 403 previous ones, welcome too. And in a moment, we will take up a practice that's been the center of this all this time, which is, Lizzie, you have brought us a source, a rich source of text and idea and possibility that we will both read. And then we're going to enter into a conversation. And there's a particular form that this conversation takes that I'm going to say very deliberately today, which is that after we've read, Lizzie, you will speak and say whatever it is that's arising for you from this. And then I will respond. And then you will respond and I will respond, and we'll keep going until we get to half an hour. Mostly what this is it's a practice, obviously, of being in conversation with one another, but it's also a practice of being in response to the source. And it's also a practice in listening and attending and meeting one another. I love that the philosopher Martin Buber says that all true living is meeting. So that's what we're doing. We're meeting one another. And it's also a practice in learning to attend to what is happening inside and giving it credence and wondering about it and treating all of this as somehow sacred or precious and staying truthful and connected and open. And we discover, as you know, Lizzie, we discover things every time. And I think that's why lots of people write to us and say this conversation is very good to listen to, because we know that the same thing is happening in lots of people. Reason I want to say all of that is we are in September of 2025, heading towards the beginning of what we're calling Turning Towards Life Live, which circles of reflection, learning and practice, which is a chance to do this with us and with other people every month to actually engage in the practice. And to cultivate in ourselves, all of us who join, this ongoing capacity to be in relationship, to discover and learn and create together, and to attend to what's true that's coming from inside. And we're now in the beginning of July, so a couple of months before we begin. And so I thought it was worth saying, and we'd be so glad if you would join us. And you can go and find out about this at turningtowards.life/live, and you can also join our email there and support us there and see all the videos of all of these conversations. And that sort of sets us up, Lizzie, to begin this one. So thank you for choosing one of these jewel-like sources that is short in words but wide and deep.
Welcome, Justin. I want to say thank you to Marianne Woodman, who is was a serious kind of trailblazer and spent her entire life energy being this wonderful, supportive, provocative, game-changing voice and presence in the world. And I bought this source from her, Justin, because when I read it, as many times I read these things, and particularly with Marian, I'm not sure I know what's going on at all. And I really have to sit and I have to feel my inquiry and wonder. And I thought, my goodness, yeah, the emotions and feelings, like I've conflated those things. And this invited me into distinguishing them out from one another. And I think that's what I'd really love to talk about, is what that means and how we do that. And I really appreciated what she said, and it really moved me. So that's why it's here as a source. So here we go. Marian says, what was my feeling in that situation? Not my emotions, my feeling. My emotions may support my feeling, but emotions are effective responses determined by complexes, momentary reactions to an immediate situation. Feeling, on the other hand, evaluates what something is worth to me. Feeling, on the other hand, evaluates what something is worth to me.
Kulasi, gosh, lots to unpack in this. And a reminder to all of you who are with us, if you want to find these words, just look in the show notes to the podcast or on tonytools.life, where you'll find all the sources with all the videos. So this is Marianne Woodman. What was my feeling in that situation? Not my emotions, my feeling. My emotions may support my feeling, but emotions are affective responses determined by complexes, momentary reactions to an immediate situation. Feeling, on the other hand, evaluates what something is worth to me.
Thanks, Justin. So, as I was just saying beforehand, Justin, this whole noticing of when I have an emotion and when I have feeling about something, that they are different things. And though emotion can be inclusive and informative of the feeling, like, to me, that seems kind of revelatory all of a sudden. Because I think there's this thing where I could say, you know, how are you feeling? And then you're supposed to tell me like some emotions or something. Like, there's an implicit relationship between emotion and feeling that I have experienced anyway. Like, if you asked me how I was feeling, I would search for my emotions. But what I'm feeling and seeing here is that the feeling realm is like way, way bigger than that. And there's a feeling that can come from, well, it can come from all kinds of places is what I'm seeing. So it can come from my bodily sense of something, which is not an emotion, but it's felt. I can feel things in my body. Like I can feel aversion, for example. You know, when I'm with certain people, I just feel like I don't want to move close. I want to move away. That's a feeling. That's not necessarily based on much, because it can be a quick thing, and it doesn't seem to me to be an emotion. I can feel a feeling towards a part of myself, which is generous and warm, or cross and irritated. I can feel, and in the feeling of something, there's like a multitude of things. And yes, I can feel emotion inside that kind of complexity of things that might add up to a feeling. But I'm appreciating this invitation to experiencing the way I feel as many, 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 many things. And also experiencing this invitation of emotion to feel like there's a way of diving down into an emotion almost. In, like, for example, if there's a big, big emotional reaction in me to something, that I could see it as something that would be determined by something in me, like something that's got made in me over time from the life that I've lived and the people that have taken care of me and the events that have happened to me in my life, that maybe my emotions are a route back to that, and are a route back to that kind of possibility of healing, and that's not the only thing that's going on. that there's more than that happening too. Like, so not everything is a project for healing. There is that, and how beautiful. But there's, in this present moment, there are things that are made up of more than that as well. And that's why this feels really compelling to me to wonder what on earth Marion's talking about. Because those things feel both very true to me, like what's happening here and now, but also what's happening, what has happened that has me be who I am today as well.
Yes, there's so much to wonder about in Marion's use of words here about how we would distinguish feeling from emotion. And I think you've made a wonderful start in trying to point out some of those things. And I was, in reflecting on all the things you're saying, Lizzie, I'm also drawn to what Marion says about the emotions that she's talking about are affective. So they're felt, but not exactly the same as a feeling. Responses determined by complexes is something that's been around in us for a while. Momentary reactions to an immediate situation. And the way I understood what you just said was there's also got something to do with the sort of the longer term arc of who we are, who you are here. So I was thinking about, actually, since you sent me this the other day, I've been thinking about how very often there are lots of situations that I'll be in, they'll often be relational situations of one way or another, where if I pay attention to what I'm, to my emotions, I'll notice that I might often feel fear. And fear is quite a common sort of automatic response for me. Something will happen and I'll feel afraid. But if I stay with the fear for a bit longer and don't just treat it as the truest thing, one of the things I can find is that there are often layers and layers of different feelings underneath it. Some of them might be emotions, the way that Marion says, sort of immediate responses. But very often, if I go one layer down, there's something that's about a bigger something, not just about what's happening here. It's got a longer time horizon.
Mm.
So for me, often underneath fear is anger.
Mm-hmm.
And my fear is an emotion about partly about what's happening in a situation, but it's partly, and you talked about this, it's partly towards my anger. So there's something in me that is afraid of my own anger. So the fear I'm feeling, this emotion in the moment, is about the anger, but it also obscures the anger. And if I drop down into the anger and start to ask Marion's question, what does the anger, which is one level further down, tell me about what matters to me? Often I'll begin to find grief. And if I, which is even longer and wider in me. And then if I ask, what's my whole sense of this grief? What's that about or telling me? It's very often got something to do with belonging and my longing to belong in places, mm. and my wondering about where I belong and who I belong with. And I think at that point, when I've got into belonging, I think I'm probably into the realm of feeling, as Marion articulated it. There is a feeling of belonging or not, and it's got something to do with a whole wide lifelong situation about, that's not also just about me. Also, it's in previous generations, my family, and here it is. It's a sort of like a big question I'm in. What is it to belong, and where do I belong, and my longing to belong? And then stacked on top of that are lots of things that end up with me feeling frightened in the moment.
Mm.
And I found that such a useful inquiry to get into, because it's not that I don't want to give attention and credence to the fear, oh, well, I'm afraid. But if I make the mistake, and I think this may be something that Marion might be hinting at, if I make the mistake of treating that as if it's the realist thing,
mm.
I might get very confused and go, well, I'm just a person who gets afraid in social situations. But actually, that's barely it, really. What it is I'm a person with deep questions about longing and a deep longing to belong. And then I can start to ask myself a much more interesting question than how do I not be afraid when I'm in a group. I can start to ask the question about where do I want to belong and what is it to belong and how do I form relationships where I can belong and what are the practices of belonging. That's the something that's worth something to me. It'd be such a big mistake just to go around trying to deal with my fear on its own. It's like a diversion or a distraction from a much more interesting and also much more life scale kind of question.
I'm noticing as you're talking, Justin, how when I have an emotion determined by something much bigger, it can feel like it floods the entirety of my experience. Well, it feels like it does. So as in when I'm feeling really angry, I feel like it takes everything in me to just know that it's not everything. Like I really have to summon something big in me to remember what you're saying, to remember that it's not all of me, that it's not all of life, that it's not going to determine absolutely everything about everything. Like it, and I think that's part of I'm wondering about parenting in this moment, Justin, as well, of like who we can be to the ones who come along after us. When in a from zero to however old, forever, it feels like understanding and working with and feeling things fully and also knowing it's not the end of the world, even if it's just on someone's behalf, that has an impact on them, I think. And to feel like we can learn to work with and to have our emotions be part of our lives and for them also not to be entirely determinant or determining our well-being or whatever in our lives feels like a very big thing. So I'm feeling you as a parent here, Justin, and imagining what it's like to be your child and to have some, you know, someone's dad say, yes, I really understand how you're feeling. And I'm also maybe in the background holding that this isn't all of you right now, that this is something that will pass, that this is something that will be here for when it's here and we will feel it. I remember this mantra that I have as well of a feeling wants to be felt. So let's do that for it. And as we can have it be felt, there's some way we can get through it. We can become, what's the word, forged by it. We can be made by it, as well as letting it have its energy, letting it have its course. And that it doesn't have to, we can relate to it, that it has a self that deserves to have its way, because we can trust that it will pass. We can trust that it will have, if we feel it, it will get what it wants. And then it doesn't have to determine everything. And I think that's a kind of hard one lesson for me, because if I don't have that mastered, I can spend a lot of time staving something off and thinking that there's no way I'm ever going to get through that. So I've got to keep it to the side. I've got to keep it at bay. And the energy that it takes to do that is quite extraordinary. Like to avoid something that much, to put it in a box and feel that box never must be opened, because that feeling would have me, is a very different story than I can feel something and it will make me, it will inform me, it will change me, it will impact me. I might be led somewhere to inquire as to where it came from. I might be taught by it in some way. It's so helpful in my life, because I think I feel things very strongly in this the affective responses determined by my complexes part of this. Like what's happened to me, like every human I would imagine, and all the ones I've ever spoken to, we have times in our lives that have determined how we feel about stuff now on really deep levels. And I definitely wasn't taught about emotions in any institution or family system that I was in, as to how to hold them, how to be with them, what to do with them, how to be in conversation with them, how to welcome them, like none of that. So the learning of that, I think, has freed up a lot of life force in me, because it leaves me way more courageous so that I don't have to avoid things. I don't have to keep it kind of buttoned up or pushed down somewhere. And of course, there's appropriate places and safe places to process stuff and to be with things. And I don't wander around hollering in the streets. Although I'd feel kind of all right about that if I needed to, actually, these days. But I feel like the gift of knowing and talking about emotions and feelings is so profound. And I just don't think that there's enough of it. I don't think it's normal enough yet that we all, and it's just true, we all have feelings. Everybody has this. It's not like some people don't have it. We all do. And I think we all either have kind of skillfulness around it, although skillfulness feels like a bit of a dry word to talk about it, but like we know what to do with it. We can have a way of speaking with, welcoming, encountering, learning from, which is really different than whatever happens, I must not feel that. And I have to keep it somewhere. And I have to arrange my life so I never feel that. So like if a person comes along that would have me feel like that, I have to banish them. I have to never see that person again because they make me feel like that. It's a very different way of living than to know that there's a way of welcoming and working with this realm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking about all the times I pretended to myself I wasn't feeling something and was very often had by a very strong feeling, which then shaped my actions. And if I think about all of the relational breakdowns I've had in my life, they've nearly always come from there. Because yeah. I'm not a person who deliberately goes around trying to create difficulty in relationships. But where I've played my part, it's often been because I've let myself be reactive to an emotion that I wasn't acknowledging, acting as if that the context of it was just the truth. And but the thing that I'm thinking about, and then very often if I've one thing that's illuminating for me, Lizzie, in listening to you and reading Marian is that very often I've, you know, where I've been sort of off or awkward with people I love or colder than I wanted to be or something, very often if I sit and reflect on it afterwards, I'll be able to find my way down to the something that's what's worth to me that was at play here, not the feeling itself. And then very often when it's been possible to repair, I can come back to you and Lizzie and say, well, you know, when I was like that yesterday, now I can see it's to do with this. Mm. Here's the thing that's at the heart of it. And I want to make a case for that, because it seems to me one way is to just pretend we're not people with emotions or feelings at all, sort of try to carve them off and put them away. But there is another way that sort of looks like a first step that's actually not that helpful, which is just to go, well, I'm angry, so I'm just going to tell everybody I'm angry all the time. And then I'm going to justify my actions towards you by going, well, of course I'm angry. That's the truth. It's my emotion. I'm angry. See, that doesn't really help that much, because what it often does is it gets us, it's the same, it's sort of giving credence only to the reactive something in us, not the deeper something.
Mm.
And the deeper something isn't really the feeling of anger. It's the sense of how things matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
So then I can say to you, well, Lizzie, I was like that because I was feeling angry, and I was feeling angry because I can see that whatever it is, you know, the thing I care about. That way I get to know me, this mystery that I am to myself, and you get to know me better too. But the other thing that really struck me is, I can pay attention to what matters to me, because that's changeable. Sometimes. So if I find that I'm being frightened and angry in lots of social settings, and it turns out it's because belonging matters to me, but I've also taken up the assessment that I don't belong anywhere, I can call all of that into question. And maybe I can say, well, is the feeling of belonging true? Is that, do I want to orient to the world in a way that has me always trying to belong? Or is it that my assessment that I don't belong that's the thing that's not true? And could I come at this knowing that belonging is important to me, but wondering about what would happen if I treated myself as already belonging, for example?
Mm.
So it gives us a lot more choice, that the ignoring the emotion doesn't give us very much choice, but also just sort of justifying the emotion doesn't give us very much choice. It just justifies a whole load of behavior.
Mm.
I feel like Marian is asking us to keep going to the underneath of the underneath here, to the deeper currents.
Yeah.
That may take some attention to really see what they are, because the feelings present themselves as very immediate and tangible, but the deeper currents that we might have carried with us over a lifetime or over a long time, we're going to have to watch and look and listen to find these. It's one of the reasons why I think writing is so good. I'm such an advocate for having a place to write and not just to splurge out what's happening, but also to keep on asking the question, what is this? What's behind it? For the sake of what is this happening? What am I discovering? Because I think we're like the bits of us that we experience directly is like a tiny part of us on top of a huge background that we have to pay attention to bring forward enough to even begin to know ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling this invitation to like what it means to have a reflective life, to be looking beneath things, like you said, the behind, the behind, the behind, and how extraordinary a writing practice is and how extraordinary a talking practice is. You know, being in conversation about stuff. I remember and still do this with myself, this kind of repeating a question to myself to feel into the beneath. So I've been talking recently to a friend about what do I mean when I say I love you? And keeping on asking myself that question again. So I say to myself, what do I mean when I say I love you? Oh, I mean I need you. And I need you to do this, this, and this. What do I mean when I say I love you? I mean, do it my way. Like there's so many things underneath that for me. But I would never know that unless I kept asking myself the question. I would think that me saying I love you was straightforward. And actually it turns out it's not straightforward at all. There's straightforwardness in it, and there's also a lot of stuff beneath it, especially at different times and different spaces and different circumstances. So I'm feeling this invitation to be reflective and to look under the bonnet of things and to know that there's a mixture of everything, and we're extremely unfathomable, complex beings. So even if we journal, probably we get to the tiniest smithereen of awareness of what's actually really happening. And it feels like a lifelong commitment to keep wondering with every new phase of self and life that comes, that we keep curious and wondering. And I love this feeling evaluates what something is worth to me. Because I was also taken, Justin, when you were talking, into the places where, like, when I sit in a theater, I see an incredible play and the feeling that arises in that, which is not, I mean, it's another complex experience, of course, but the feeling towards the art and towards the endeavor of a play and how it evokes human experience and all of the stuff, that is such an example of where something, a huge big feeling, turns up towards me, and I really know that this is what is worth something to me, is this kind of art and this expression of humanness. And I think that's what I love about this, that it's not only just like the psychological depths of us or something, but it's to do with like being ourselves and looking into the world and feeling possibility, and having a sense of what belongs to me and what doesn't belong to me in terms of directionality, life experience, and letting feeling tell me what's worth something to me. because there are sometimes I also see things or experience things that I are so left field, and the feeling in me shows me there were something to me and I don't even know what they are. I've never seen it before. I don't know what it is, but my whole being goes, ding, 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 that's worth something. Like, you have to look there. So I'm really welcoming of this invitation to marry and to move through the world with feeling and worth being linked to one another. I'm grateful for that distinction in my experience and that invitation. I'm grateful to you, Justin, for someone who looks beneath and knows what this is also talking about as well. I want to say thank you to everybody. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being people who look beneath. And thank you for joining us every week to do just that, I think. It's kind of what we're doing. And you probably had a feeling or have a feeling about turning towards life that's a very kind of mixture of lots of things. And that feeling has let you be here as you find this to be of something of worth, like we do. So thank you. And we'll be back next week with another source from Justin.
Thank you, Lizzie. I'm going to do something very sneaky. I'm going to sneak in one thing before we end. Just want to honor that you have said repeatedly in this conversation, feeling towards. And it's so important because you keep on revealing to us that a feeling isn't just a feeling. It's towards something in the world.
Yes.
And there's a whole conversation to have about it, but I didn't want to let it go past without noticing your language. And the other thing that felt important to say is I think last week we had a source by Joanna Macy. And I learned this week that Joanna Macy's in hospice care just this week. So she's in probably the very last days of her life on this planet. And it seemed important not to let this moment go past without thanking Joanna for her extraordinary work. And also just to name, I'm certainly holding her in my heart over these days and hoping that these days are smooth for her and that she is well cared for. I didn't want to let that go past without bringing her in.
Thank you, Justin.
So we will end there, and thank you, everyone, and all being well. We'll be back next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.